For the past Sundays, we've been listening to the Sermon on the Mount. If we recall, Jesus begins with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the hungry, the thirsty. Very encouraging words, especially for a community who's suffering, to hear those words come out from Jesus' mouth. Then last Sunday, even more so, you are the salt of the earth, he tells his followers. You are the light of the world. So we can almost imagine the community puffing up and saying, yes, we have this incredible dignity. And then today, the sermon continues, but it's a lot more obscure. It's darker. It's more challenging. Jesus talking about the law. Perhaps because he knows that we might be tended to conform exteriorly to the law, but our thoughts, our desires may go in another direction. I was reading this cartoon strip that showed Moses walking down from the mountain, and he had the tablets of the law. And he tells the people, guys, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is I got them down to 10 commandments. The bad news is adultery is still one of them. Christ challenges us to internalize the law of God. That true law is not something superficial, something that we just do externally, but that we have to bring to heart. And he brings this aspect to his teaching, the heart. One of the greatest contributions that our Catholic faith has had to the Western world is the notion of conscience, of discerning the will of God in our hearts. And this is one of the passages it's based on. And the way Jesus does it is he counterposes the law and now what he says. You have heard it say, but now I say. You have heard it say, you shall not kill. But now I tell you, whoever fosters anger in their heart is already committing murder. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But anybody who looks lustfully at a woman is already committing adultery. You have heard it said, do not say false oaths. Well, now I say to you, don't swear at all. And then his teaching on marriage. Very challenging words. So if we look at the Sermon on the Mount by itself, it could seem like bad news. Can you imagine if our law would judge us also by our thoughts and our desires, not just by our actions? If we would be sentenced just by fostering anger in our heart to so many years of prison, who could be saved? So looked on its own, the Sermon on the Mount would seem like bad news, something discouraging. But Jesus tells us also, it's not the law for the sake of the law. And this is where the first reading comes in. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. I have set before you fire and water, life and death, good and evil. And we can choose. It is this great gift that God has given us, free will, that we can choose. The commandments, freedom, salvation, or fear, apprehension, anxiety, that we can choose. St. Augustine says, God, who created you without you, cannot save you without you. It is this capacity for free choice, because only a free being can love. Only a free being can love. St. Paul says, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. So it's not the law for the sake of the law. It's the law for the sake of love. Now, we have to be careful of this notion of love, because we can transform it into our understanding of love. I remember I visited a woman who was homebound, who needed to go to confession before signing up for the Eucharistic Ministers List. I arrived to her home, knocked at the door. Her son, who I think was her son, opened the door. "Hi, Padre." "Hi, good evening. I'm here to visit so-and-so." "Oh, okay, well, one second, please." He closes the door, and I hear voices. They seem to be discussing. Then she opens the door, and she says, "Well, thank you for coming, Padre, but I decided I won't be going to confession after all. My son is right. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus loves me, so I'm good." The first thing that came to my mind was actually this passage. The way the gospel starts, Jesus did not come to abolish the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law by his message of love and compassion. But he needs for us to choose him, to choose to receive him, receive his law of love. They say we can be our harshest critic and our most indulgent judge at the same time. But Christ needs us to come to him. So we could say, okay, well, if Jesus came, well, what purpose is there for the law? Why not to abolish the law? Why fulfill it? There was a man with a lot of money. He walks into a luxurious car dealership, sports cars. He's looking at the Ferraris. And finally, he chooses one that he likes. The Ferrari Murciélago, black one with doors that swivel vertically. He says, yeah, this is the one I want. He speaks to the salesman and the salesman says, well, these are all very special cars. They're capable of going at top speeds. You need to take special care of them. So you need ultra super premium gasoline and super premium oil. Nothing less, or else you're going to start damaging the motor and it's going to be bad news. The man says, well, you know, gasoline doesn't quite make it for me. It's too pungent for my taste. I think I'm gonna use champagne instead. And oil? It's too messy. I like strawberry jam. I think I'm gonna use that instead. And so we are also, or can also be tempted to conform the law to our tastes. You know what, Jesus? Today's message is, that's too hard to take. I can't swallow this. How are you going to be scrutinizing my thoughts and my desires and the teaching of marriage? My goodness. To look at another woman and it's, no, you know, I think I'm going to do this instead. And we want to conform the law to our needs, to our desires, to our wants, to our likes. The law of God, his commandments, the reflection on sacred scripture, his holy sacraments, all those are like a user's manual. You have been given this incredible car, this body, this heart, this mind, capable of loving and giving itself to another person, to a cause. If you want to use it healthily, to the purpose it was intended, to love, we need to do this. These are the instructions. This is the user's manual. Ultra premium gasoline, the best oil in the market. Then you will be able to use this machine for what it was intended. Our human nature, this incredible capacity to love. But we must choose. We must choose to live in this way. So what is the purpose of the law? To choose to follow the law is to choose to love. In its last consequences, in all its purpose, I choose not to see these provocative images, not because it constrains me, but because I love myself, I love my neighbor, and I love God more in doing so. I choose not to give in to gossip, not because somebody prohibits me, but because it's a fuller form of love to see the good in others and in myself. I choose to let go of that sin of resentment, or that sin that I've been carrying on for a while in sacrament of reconciliation, not because I like confessing my sins, but because I choose to let them go, to give them to the Lamb of God who takes them away. And so I choose to forgive. I choose to love, because the law shows me how. The law of Christ, which is the law of love that he has brought to fulfillment now. Isn't that how the second reading ends? Let's listen to it again. What eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him. As though to say, you can't even imagine what lies in the fullest form of the law, in our salvation. And it begins here and now, that we choose it, that we choose life, that we choose good, that we choose Christ. Let us ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to show us how to choose, to give us the courage and the wisdom, the discernment, to predispose ourselves toward the good, the true, and the beautiful, that she may show us how to accept the law in its fullest form, which is our Lord Jesus Christ.